Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
Good Friday morning, everyone. You are correct. It is once again your weekly dose of conservative Wiccanness. I know it makes people go, "What?" Yeah, but yes, there are a few of us. There are some of us out here, and I happen to be one of them. And you are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, of course, and thanks to everyone for hanging out with me on this fabulous Friday, this run-up to the Labor Day weekend. Hope everybody has some fantastic plans. Hope the weather is going to be awesome where you are. Oh my gosh, we couldn't ask for better weather here in St. Louis. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a great weekend. But again, thank you everybody for hanging out with me today. And you can call in here if you would like to talk to me, because we've got a ton of stuff, as usual, to talk about. And if you want to call in here, the number is 347-857-2620, 347-857-2620. And, of course, the chat room is open, as always, for your convenience if you would like to go that route. And I want to give a shout-out to everyone who will be listening later on Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with me. And a little housekeeping before we get started here. Absolutely, please go to Red Nation Rising Radio Network, because you've got two 24/7 live radio streams of the best conservative talk radio on the internet that you are going to find, hands down. There is a ton of awesomely talented people there, and you're not going to find a dull moment. You're not going to find two people that are alike. You're going to find so much variety and things that people are talking about that nobody else is. So please check it out. Red Nation Rising Radio Network. RedNationRisingRadio.us. But anyway, let's get started here. We've got, like I said, a ton of stuff to get into. And one of the big things going on this week was that, people have been wanting specifics from Donald Trump. People who are supportive of him, people who are not supportive of him, probably just to tear it down, but there has been a lot of clamoring for Donald Trump to give some specifics about things. And as anybody knows, when he first announced his run for the presidency, that one of his, I guess you could probably call it his signature issue, was immigration. And the things that he said at that time about building a wall and sending people back who have come into the country illegally, sending them back to wherever they came from, whatever their country of origin is, and making them come back in through the front door, coming back in a legal way, that really stirred up a lot of controversy right from the beginning. And, you know, I think for maybe, and I'm really not one who is not religiously followed Donald Trump and whatever he does as long as he's been in the public eye. But for people who do, for people who were, you know, regular viewers of The Apprentice or you know, followed anything concerning his career, that's what Donald Trump does. He does things that might be deemed controversial to a lot of people. But so it's become his signature issue. And it's become how he gained the support that he has. Well, Donald Trump this week gave I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't seen the whole thing all the way through, but he gave a speech this week in Arizona about and got specific about his plan for immigration in the United States. And by all accounts of people, again, people who are ardent supporters of Donald Trump and people who are not, the speech that he gave this week was very presidential. It was, It was specific, and it was it was hard-nosed, I guess maybe is maybe a way to put it, for lack of a better way to put it, that he told us exactly what he was going to do. Now, that's a problem for some people. It's a problem for some minority groups, groups that represent Hispanics, groups that represent maybe other people. But I think that the majority of Trump supporters, it is not that they are anti-immigrant, they're anti-illegal immigrant. I don't think there are very many people in this country who are completely and totally anti-immigrant. America was founded by immigrants, but America was founded by legal immigrants, and America was founded by immigrants who wanted to come to this country and become Americans. And that is a problem right now in a variety of ways. But again, Donald Trump was in Arizona when he gave this speech. I believe this was on Tuesday. I could be wrong. But the speech came right off a quickly planned trip to Mexico to meet with the Mexican president, and which I thought was a really good move, because where is Hillary Clinton on this? All Hillary Clinton is doing is talking about how we need to increase by 500% or some silly, outrageous number of Syrian refugees who are coming into the country, who we have no way of vetting, who we have no way of knowing who these people are. So I thought that Donald Trump meeting with the Mexican president, I thought that it was a really good move. I thought it was a presidential looking move. And I thought that it illustrated somebody who was kind of taking the bull by the horns and saying, okay, let's get this done, and diving right in. And so he gave this speech in Arizona, again, right fresh off of his trip to Mexico, and his meeting with the Mexican president went well. There are some accounts that where President, I'm having a total brain hemorrhage here, and his name escapes me. Nieto, I believe his name is, that there were some differences on what was discussed and what was not. Trump is saying that who would pay for the wall was discussed. President Nieto is saying no, it was not. So there's some little nitpicky, minuscule things there that are being disputed. But for the most part, I think that both parties thought that it was a good meeting. And during this speech, I'm sorry, this speech took place on Wednesday. During this speech, he again doubled down on building the wall and making Mexico pay for it. And when you talk about making Mexico pay for it, I think a lot of people are saying, okay, well, that's fine, but how are you going to do that? Well, here's the thing with that, and this is something that I had already thought of, excuse me, that there are a lot of people, whether you're here in the country, if you are Mexican and you are in the United, you're living and working in the United States, whether you are here legally or illegally, the vast majority of those people are sending money back home. They're sending remittances back home. And I heard a suggestion yesterday. Someone said, well, what if we were to impose a tax on those remittances, on that money being sent back to Mexico? Because the total amount of money being sent back to Mexico to families from people in this country who are living and working in this country from Mexico, the amount of money that's being sent back to Mexico is staggering. It's most certainly in the millions, if not billions. And I think that maybe putting a tax on that money would probably pay for a wall in a heartbeat. If not completely, a large portion of it, I can't believe, would not be paid for. But he also talked about a deportation force, at that well it, it's It's a term that the media has come up with. I mean, it and I think the media has come up with it to make it sound kind of Nazi-esque, you know, that Donald Trump is just going to create this force of brown-shirted thugs who are going to go from door to door, knocking on doors of people that they think are in this country illegally and dragging them and their children and everyone out of the house, and there you go. So that's the image that the mainstream media is trying to get into the minds of Americans, especially Hispanic Americans. But again, this speech was really kind of meant to clarify his proposals and the things that he would like to do to combat the issue of immigration, illegal immigration. He didn't call for the removal of just immediately removing every single immigrant, illegal immigrant from the country. But what he did focus on was deporting an estimated 2 million criminal aliens, was what he called them, on day one, on his first day in office. And he also would like to prioritize groups like gang members, people who overstay their visas, that those people may be the first to go. And I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with removing gang members, because they're here for one thing and for one thing only, and that's to commit crimes and make life miserable for Americans. But he also absolutely said emphatically, quote, "There will be no amnesty." And he also added that no illegal immigrant would be legalized without first leaving and coming in through the front door. Quote, "For those here illegally today who are seeking legal status, they will have one route and one route only, to return home and apply for reentry like everybody else under the rules of the new legal immigration I have outlined above." Trump went on to say that America's current immigration system, quote, "serves the needs of wealthy donors, political activists, and powerful politicians. Let me tell you who it does not serve. It does not serve you, the American people. It doesn't serve you." The report I'm reading here is a report from Fox News about this speech that Donald Trump gave on Wednesday. He also promised to end the catch-and-release program, to increase the number of ICE and Border Patrol agents, block funding for sanctuary cities, and create a deportation task force that he said would be focused on deporting criminal aliens. He also promised to cancel President Obama's illegal executive orders and to enforce current immigration laws, and accused Hillary Clinton of not having a plan on immigration, saying she would give Obamacare, Social Security, and Medicare to illegal immigrants breaking the federal budget. Which is true. He also went on to say that there are some immigrants who will be unable to assimilate into American society. I'm going to add, maybe not so much unwilling, but not so much unable, but unwilling. They're unable. They're unwilling. They are coming here to work, to get a paycheck, and they really are not developing any allegiance to the United States. They really don't have a sense of wanting to become an American. And I think that that's a problem for a lot of people too. And he also said, quote, it's our right as a sovereign nation to choose immigrants we think are the likeliest to thrive and flourish and love us. And I would agree with that. I think I would agree with that. And, there were a lot of rumors that he was, quote, softening on his stances on immigration. But he described the wall that he is going to build as impenetrable, physical, tall, powerful, and beautiful. And I think it's going to be beautiful to a lot of people who are just, I think first and foremost here, The first thing that needs to happen is we need to secure that border before anything else happens. Secondly, I think that you need to, here's my thought on it. I don't know if a, quote, deportation force is the answer, because right now the number being batted about of illegal immigrants here in this country is around 11 million. And I'm not sure that is a feasible, doable thing to deport 11 million people. I agree with the concept. I agree with the idea of making everyone leave and coming back in legally. I'm just not sure how it was done, how it would be done. What kind of bill is that going to generate? How much is that going to cost? But here's the thing. Here's what I'm thinking, that if you have 11 million people here illegally, and no one wants to grant them amnesty, and I don't believe that there should be a path to citizenship. What I'm thinking, and I've heard several people propose this, is that basically what's going on here is that these laws have been unenforced and basically ignored by both Republicans and Democrats, because Democrats need a permanent underclass of voters to keep voting for them. If they keep saying, hey, we're going to give you freebies, those people are going to keep voting Democrats. So they need that. And a lot of Republicans want the cheap labor. So everybody's guilty here. Everybody's got some skin in the game as far as blowing off the existing laws. But how about this? What if we – okay, there's 11 million people here, and they have children who are American citizens, which is a whole other story too. That loophole needs to be closed. They've been living and working here, some of them for 20 years or more. I think that if you sneak into this country – if you come into this country illegally, first of all, you've already broken the law by coming in illegally. I think that there could be some sort of legalization process that you can remain in this country and you can live here and work here as you've been doing. However, I think that if you have come into this country illegally, that you automatically forfeit your right to benefits granted American citizens. Now, like I said, you can live here, work here, do what you've been doing. You can send your children to school. You can, if you go to an emergency room, no one is going to deny you care. Basic things of that nature are still going to go on, but you are not going to, because you have stuck into this country illegally, you forfeit your right, you forfeit your chance of becoming a citizen, first of all. And I think that you also forfeit your access to, because you forfeit your right to become a citizen, you can be here legally, but you forfeit your right to become a citizen, two very different things. And by forfeiting your right to become a citizen, you also forfeit your chance at benefiting from the rights that American citizens have, such as voting. And would be very interesting to see who might support that kind of plan. But I'm going to take a quick break, and we are going to come back. We will talk a little bit more about this. Plus, speaking of immigrants and all things immigration, did you know that the 10,000th Syrian refugee entered the United States this week? Oh yeah, yeah. It's the thing that Barack Obama loves and wants to be remembered for. That's his legacy. And we will talk about that. We will talk about a whole bunch more. Thank you everybody for hanging out with me today. Don't go anywhere. I have got so much more to get to. Stay right where you are. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Don't move.
This is Dinesh D'Souza, and you are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills. And you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975. To find out more, call toll-free 800-962-9119. That's 800-962-9119. Call 800-962-9119 today.
Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need the Debt Ninja. If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need the Debt Ninja. Want to stop those harassing collection calls, start saving thousands in interest and fees, and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call the Debt Ninja. The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call the Debt Ninja for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-824-3301. 800-824-3301. That's 800-824-3301. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
We are back. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everybody, for hanging with me on this fabulous Friday. TGIF, people, the three-day weekend is here. Yes, it is. Hope everyone is going to have a wonderfully fabulous and safe Labor Day weekend. Hope the weather is going to be great wherever you are. And if you have time, you can listen to rebroadcasts, of course, of this show and a whole bunch of other shows on Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. Check it out. It is completely cool, and you will keep coming back for more. But we have been talking about, of course, Donald Trump's speech on immigration this week. And I want to wrap this up because, I got a ton of other stuff to get to. But I think that and for anybody who saw clips of this, little snippets here and there of this speech, the reaction from the crowd of people, and yeah, maybe it was basically a pro-Trump crowd so that he's preaching to the choir. Okay, I get that. But I think that for a lot of people, and maybe even people who are not diehard Trump supporters, maybe they're just kind of leaning Trump, but they're not, you know, they're not fanatical. Maybe that's a bad word, but that they're not totally all in, that they're not the cheerleaders. I think that for those people and a lot of other people that it's refreshing to hear a candidate, any candidate, whether they're running for president, whether they're running for the House or the Senate, or it's a state race, whatever it is, at least, and I can speak for myself completely, but I think a lot of other people will agree with me too, that it is so refreshing to hear a candidate, especially a presidential candidate, talk about America first, putting America first, and putting Americans first. Because let's face it, for the past 7.5, 8 years, we haven't heard a whole lot of that. We've heard a lot of apologizing for America. And we've heard a lot about how, especially in the last 2 years, 3 years, we've heard a lot about how so many Americans are so inherently racist, and America is so unfair, and that the playing field is rigged, and that the system is rigged. And I think for some people to hear putting America first and putting Americans first, they're so starved for that because we haven't heard that in so long. And I really would like to for someone to explain to me what is so wrong about wanting to put your country and your fellow citizens first. What is so wrong about America first, looking out for American interest, Americans first? I don't get why people have a problem with that. I just, you know, if you can explain it, great, but it's something that we have been sorely lacking for the past 8 years. And again, really briefly, I'll just touch on it again before I move on, is that I think a lot of the problem that people have is that it's not so much with legal immigration. There's maybe a handful of kooks who don't want any immigrants, period. I think that we all welcome legal immigrants because we want them to experience the American dream in the way that we have. But I think that there is a group of people who come into this country who have no desire to become Americans. They have no desire to assimilate into American society, and that is a problem. And I don't know how you vet people. Well, I think that maybe not only in the case of Middle Eastern refugees and Mexicans who want and people from South America who want to come into the United States. You know, liberals are going to say, oh, well, we can't, you know, we're not going to, I heard someone interviewing Janet Napolitano yesterday, and I forgive me, her exact quote escapes me, but something to the effect of, you know, finding out if people want to be Americans is just something we can't do. Why not? Why the hell not? Because it is vital. It's part of why they're coming here. Exactly. It's part of the reason why they're coming here. Do they or do they not want to become Americans? And I definitely think it's something that we need to touch on when people are trying to come into the country. And especially when you're talking about people from the Middle East, unfortunately, you know, maybe I'm racially profiling or something, but you know, on a side note, that I've always said, you know, when people talk about going to the airport and profiling Muslims and people from the Middle East, you know, if the people who had flown planes into buildings on September 11th, and incidentally, our next show will be 2 days before the 15th anniversary of September 11th, and I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot about that. But if the people who had flown planes into buildings on September 11th would have been short brunette white women, I would have been more than happy to be racially profiled. But I digress. This is a report from the Washington Times. It is from Tuesday of this week. And in case you didn't know, because I'm sure the media is not going to, there may be a few who think it's wonderful, but you're not going to hear a whole lot about this, that the 10,000th Syrian refugee arrived in this country this week. and it beats President Obama's fiscal year goal with more than a month left. Some 30,000 more are ready to be resettled, according to the Washington Times. Human rights advocates said that 10,000 refugees are a good start and called for Obama to speed up the process. According to Al Jazeera, the Obama administration is aiming to increase its target goal for 2017. Isn't that wonderful? Critics in Congress of Syrian refugee settlement worry about the rapid increase. The Washington Times reported in October 2015, fewer than 200 were resettled, and that number rose higher than 2,000 in June, July, and August of this year. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees has cleared at least 46,000 for resettlement since 2013. 12,000 have been accepted so far, the report said. But the UN's refugee, this goes on to say, the UN's refugee agency, UNHCR, has registered around 5 million Syrians who were displaced in that country's civil war. The U.S. depends on the United Nations to refer candidates. Then Homeland Security and State Department officials perform their own checks and issue the final approvals, which is apparently how this process works. The Obama administration officials said that Syrian refugees get the highest scrutiny of any immigrant, including some whose social media is being checked for signs of radical action. More than 99% of the Syrians accepted into the U.S. are Muslim, and 11% are men ages 14 to 30, the prime subgroup for being radicalized into terrorist activity. U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Director Leon Rodriguez said that officers can spot falsified applications and dangerous refugees. He said 92% of applications get approved, while 8% are rejected. That is according to the Washington Times. Republican lawmakers remain concerned. They attempted to pass a requirement for FBI and intelligence chiefs to sign off on every refugee, but the Democrats filibustered the bill, which led to its demise. The Washington Times reported that San Diego has accepted the most refugees among U.S. cities, with 142 in August and 550 in 2016 so far. Glendale, Arizona has taken in almost 370 in 2016 thus far. Michigan has taken in almost four times as many refugees as California, which has four times Michigan's population. Many allies of the United States have taken in more refugees than the U.S. has. Germany has accepted hundreds of thousands, while Canada admitted almost 30,000 between November 2015 and May 2016. That is also according to Al Jazeera. Yeah, but look what's happening in Germany, and look what's happening in Europe as a whole. And, you know, when I was reading this story and it was talking about the UN's involvement in the selection process and the vetting process, I thought, well, you know, does the United Nations really give a rat's rear end about who these people are that are coming into the United States, who they are and what they're doing? Do they know who they are? Do they know why they're coming here? And I got to think that the answer to that is basically a no. No, they don't. They don't know who they are, and they don't care. All they want to do is they want to keep shoving those refugees into the country. And for anybody, I don't know about anybody else, but all of the pictures that I have seen of Syrian refugees, yeah, you're going to have a handful of women and children and old people sprinkled in there to make it look good. But I think that for anyone who has seen pictures of these refugees, the majority of these air quote refugees are young men exactly in that age group. What is the age group here that the Times is talking about here? 14 to 30. Yeah, the majority of those refugees are young Middle Eastern men. And, you know, I'm sorry, but again, those are the ones who seem to be causing all the trouble. I don't want to sound like I'm racially profiling here. Just saying. Just looking at the history of all of the terrorist attacks that have gone on, not just in the United States, but in Europe as well. And you know, that report talks about Germany. Well, you know, I think Europe is on the way out, I think, because you've got all of these no-go zones, that they're calling it, where even the police in places like Germany and France, the neighborhoods that the police won't even go, there are Sharia law courts that, even in Great Britain, that are up and running, and I don't know. I don't know as far. I don't think that the United States. I hope that we are paying enough attention here in the United States to what's going on in Europe, so that won't happen here. But I don't know how you put that genie back in the bottle in Europe. I really don't know. But what we do know is that Hillary Clinton would like to expand that number of refugees as well. And not really sure if I think she'll say that she cares about a vetting process, but, you know, how much does she really care about a vetting process or a whole new group, a whole new block of Democrat voters? But speaking of Hillary Clinton, you know, Hillary Clinton is also getting to be the gift that keeps on giving for Republicans, because this email story is not going away. It's like an onion. You keep peeling back layers and layers and layers of it, and you keep finding more stuff. And it's almost getting laughable when, you know, liberals will bring up, well, the FBI didn't find that she had done anything illegal. And I think that more and more people are shaking their heads and going, how did they not find? I mean, you have to be actively not looking. But this is a report from Newsmax. And, you know, the group Citizens United has been very instrumental in uncovering these emails and uncovering all of these regularities about what Hillary Clinton was doing during her time at the State Department. And this report talks about email communication involving Huma Abedin, Huma Wiener. Well, soon she will be formerly Mrs. Wiener, because we do know that Huma and Anthony Wiener are separated as of this week, because, well, Wiener is up to his old tricks again. Somebody needs to close down his Twitter account, take away his phone. I don't know, but so, you know, I mean, I don't think whatever Huma is doing to Hillary, you know, when anyone's marriage breaks up and it breaks up because of something kind of ugly like that, I mean, I don't think we wish that on anyone. But email communication involving Huma Abedin, who, of course, is Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman, and Clinton Foundation officials show she was fully aware the private email server and address that Hillary Clinton was using, this is Huma, was not secure, and also shows the close connection between the State Department and the charity. This was from Citizens United Chairman David Bossie, said this on Tuesday morning. And incidentally, this morning I saw a report that David Bossie has been named Donald Trump's deputy campaign manager. So that would mean that he's going to be working very closely with Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon. So, again, I think that's probably a good pick, but we will find out more about that, I'm sure, in the days ahead. But David Bossie went on to say, quote, "We don't know where the State Department ended and the foundation began, and that's really what our investigation is truly uncovering here." He was on Fox and Friends Tuesday morning. And he was sharing these communications that Citizens United has uncovered, and they've been doing a pretty extensive investigation on it. An email dated October 12, 2009, Huma Abedin explains to a long list of people, including Clinton's then chief of staff, Cheryl Mills, that during a trip to Russia, the staff would be required to leave all BlackBerry phones on the airplane and would be using locally supplied cell phones because of security concerns. Cooper, who is another person receiving the same email, had been an aide to former President Bill Clinton and advises and assists in operating the Clinton Foundation, Clinton Global Initiative, and the Clinton Family Foundation. He responded to Abedin's message that the email operated through Clinton's private server should still work. Huma replied back, "It's, quote, it's for security reasons. I don't want to use that one either." Citizens United is also looking into whether there were any policy changes of the use of quid pro quo resulting from the connections between the foundation and the Clinton State Department. Clearly, this is a quote again from David Bossie, quote, clearly Hillary Clinton's staff understood proper security protocols. They were being told by the State Department to leave your BlackBerry phone on the plane. clear, plain, and simple because they knew that the Russians would be hacking them. They knew the Russians would be trying to read them. However, though, the devices could not be hacked if they were turned off and left on the plane. This is an email about their State Department travel on an official trip to Russia that Abedin is sending to the foundation, so they understood they would be off the grid. If you need anything, call us. That was the quote. This is just part and parcel of what was going on. This investigation by Citizens United has taken over 2 years to uncover the State Department acting as an arm of the Clinton campaign. And part of the reason the work is going so slowly is because it's being stalled. They're being stonewalled in getting the materials that they need. Citizens United, they're being stonewalled by the State Department. They don't want to put it out before Election Day, said Bossy. That's why they're trying to force these issues. The Clinton camp has accused Citizens United of being a, quote, right-wing group that's been attacking the Clintons since the 1990s and once again is trying to make something out of nothing. David Bossy, I think, kind of got a chuckle at that, and his quote was, well, trying to uncover what the Clintons do is a full-time job. They have a full-time staff that tries to keep up with them. And he said, let me say this. The Clintons want to attack, and it's their modus operandi to attack whoever is raising questions about them, whoever is shining the light on their activities. So it's not a surprise that they would do this. And, you know, the thing is with all of this is that Democrats, I don't think really, they don't see a problem here. Not only is it that they are covering up for Hillary Clinton, but it's the whole culture. It's the whole mentality that people have about this. And, Donna Brazile was on CNN earlier this week, and forgive me, I don't remember who she was being interviewed by, but she kind of let the cat out of the bag. Let's listen.
I want to move to the Clinton Foundation. There was major news about Secretary Clinton this week. Newly released emails obtained by ABC News show that Clinton Foundation officials looking for invitations for major donors to State Department events, including a presidential speech, including sitting next to Vice President Biden. Do you see any problem with that coming in?
You know, based on what I've seen, I understand that there's a new round of fresh eyes looking at more emails that might be released. I've been dealing with another situation involving emails that were leaked, private information that has been put out in the public stream. Well, I've got to stick with what I know. I'm not an official of the State Department, nor did I work in the Clinton Foundation.
Do you have a problem with that commingling?
First of all, Martha, the way I look at it, I've been a government official. So, you know, this notion that somehow or another, someone who's a donor, somebody who's an activist saying, I want access, I want to come into a room and I want to meet people, we often criminalize behavior that is normal, and I don't see what the smoke is. I understand why it's being discussed. Like I said, I've been dealing with another situation, another email situation. The DNC was a victim of a cybercrime, an attack, and that has been my focus, not the focus of another round of email controversy.
Let me go.
So Donna Brazile basically says there, well, you know, it's all in a day's work for us. It's criminalized, but what was her quote there? And I think she may have said something there kind of quite unconsciously that criminalized behavior, well, it's just kind of normal. Well, it's just kind of what we do here at the Democrat Party. It's just kind of par for the course, like I said, all in a day's work. And, you know, it was Martha Raddatz, I'm sorry. She was on ABC this week with being interviewed by Martha Raddatz. And, well, Martha, you know, it's just what we do. It's just how we roll. I am Becky Noble. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am going to take another short break, and we are going to be right back. We'll wrap things up with some poll numbers and a great – you can't make this stuff up. Another great Joe Biden quote. So don't go anywhere. I've still got a lot of stuff to get to before we call it a day. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. Stay right where you are. I'll be right back.
Hey, folks, Kevin Jackson here, host of The Kevin Jackson Show. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Boy,
Man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy,
whew.
I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123. You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501.
Hi there, I'm Slammin' Sam Myers, and I would like to invite you to listen to fun, exciting oldies, The Fox. It's an internet radio station that is like nothing else you've ever heard before. Most classic hit stations have a music library of 500 or maybe 1,000 songs. The Fox Oldies has several thousand. We play songs that radio has forgotten. My favorite thing to hear is I haven't heard that song in years. You'll hear music from the 50s like Elvis Presley, and every once in a while a current song that adults enjoy like Uptown Funk. It's real heavy on the music from 1970 to 1981. Tune in to www.thefoxoldies.com. Tune in, and I promise you, you're going to hear something within an hour that you have not heard in a very, very long time. That's what the Fox Oldies specializes in. It's music that will put a smile on your face. And music that does not have to be censored. It's fun, exciting oldies. The Fox at www.thefoxoldies.com.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-398-8309, 800-398-8309, 800-398-8309. That's 800-398-8309.
We're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble, RedNationRising.us, RedNationRisingRadioNetwork.com. Check it out. Very quickly, before we have to get out of here today, of course, as always, some poll numbers. This is from Real Clear Politics. They average out about 87 polls. Well, at least it seems like 87 polls. But right now, nationally, this Real Clear Politics has Hillary Clinton up 4.5%. That's changing. It's going back and forth rapidly, and a lot of it has to do, I think, with Trump's immigration speech this week, a couple of battleground polls here. Michigan, Hillary Clinton 45, Trump 36. Wisconsin, Clinton 45, Trump 39. In Missouri, Clinton 40.8, Trump 43.8. That's, Missouri's really been going back and forth as well. Colorado, Hillary 46, Trump 35. Arizona, Hillary 41, Trump 44. Virginia, Clinton 49, Trump 38. Georgia, Clinton 43, Trump 43. It's a difference of like a couple others here. Let's see, we did Virginia already. Pennsylvania has Clinton up by 5. We did Wisconsin. Did we not? No? Yeah, we did. North Carolina has Trump up by 2. A Gravis poll in Arizona has Trump up by 4. This is really interesting. In West Virginia, this is a Metro News poll, has Donald Trump up by 18 points. Now, in New York, Emerson poll has Hillary Clinton up by 18 points. But in West Virginia, that is really interesting because everybody remembers how Hillary Clinton came out and said, we're going to put a lot of coal companies and a lot of coal miners out of business. Don't think she's going to get a big percentage of the vote there in West Virginia. That's pretty heavy coal country there. And you know what better way to kill your campaign? But real quickly here, I want to, because you can't make this up. This was Vice President Joe Biden at a Hillary Clinton campaign rally on Thursday. I believe he was in Ohio talking to a lot of union guys. And so picture this. Hillary Clinton is sitting on the stage behind Joe Biden while he is giving a speech. And, well, just listen.
Someone who lacks this judgment cannot be trusted. There's a guy that follows me right back here, has the nuclear codes. So God forbid anything happened to the president and I had to make a decision. The codes are with me. All. He is not qualified to know the codes. He can't be trusted.
So nobody in that audience flinches when Joe Biden talks about a guy in the audience who is sitting among them somewhere with the nuclear codes. But yet Donald Trump is irresponsible and unfit to be the president. He might as well have just said, yeah, that guy out there in the audience, yeah, you know, see the guy in the blue shirt over there with the briefcase? Yeah, he's the guy that has the nuclear codes. What? Are you kidding me? I mean, we chuckle about Bite Me all the time, and we chuckle about the goofy stuff that he says. And I think they try to keep him under wraps, which probably would be a wise thing for the Democrats to do. But you're going to sit – well, granted, it was a Hillary rally, so there wasn't a whole lot of people there. I think the number was about 250. You know, and again, you know, they're preaching to the choir. This is a bunch of union guys and people like that. But he's telling people that there's a guy with him who has the nuclear codes. You can't make it up. You just cannot – make it up, especially when you're talking about Joe Bite Me. But very quickly, before we have to get out of here. Spain's Tomatina Festival, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but that's the one where people like throw tomatoes at everybody. It's dubbed, quote, the world's biggest food fight, has given the small town, Bunal, a huge economic boost, and now other Spanish towns with quirky fiestas are seeking to mimic its success. At the annual Tomatina Festival on Wednesday, 160 tons of ripe tomatoes were offloaded from trucks into a crowd of over 22,000 half-naked revelers who packed the streets of Bunal for an hour-long battle. Locals and visitors pelted each other with tomatoes, leaving the streets of the eastern town, which is home to just 10,000 people awash with red pulp. The Tomatina started in 1945 when local youths brawling in the street seized tomatoes and other produce from a greengrocer's stall and let loose. Cash-strapped local authorities in 2013 began charging an entry fee and hired a private company to sell tickets. The colorful event has been featured in several movies, such as 2014 British romantic comedy Walking on Sunshine and the 2011 Indian road movie Zindagi Namalegi Dobara, say that three times fast, as well as in television ads for global brands. Quote, it's an honor but also a great responsibility because everyone has their eyes fixed on us, That is a quote from Bunal Mayor Rafael Perez. So apparently throwing tomatoes in one Spanish town is not enough, that everybody else wants to get in on the gig, you know? And, I'm going to put that with running the Bulls. If that's your deal, you know, wear what you dig. God bless you. But with that, I am out of here. Everyone, please go to theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Working on some new stuff there. Politichicks.com, going to have something new up there very shortly. So please keep watching out and keep looking. .com/BeckyNoble and on Twitter @PatriotWitch. And, of course, Red Nation Rising Radio Network. RedNationRising.us. Check it out, please. Everyone, have a fantastic and safe Labor Day weekend, and I will see you next time.
Stand up.